Please do be seated. You may notice on the front of the sheet the verse for the week, which is taken from Peter's epistle, 2 Peter, verse 14, chapter 3. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish. And as we've already demonstrated this morning, even as God's creation, even as made in his image, there are things in our lives that are indeed spots and blemishes on the face of his creation. Whereas the children were able to remold their Play-Doh, as we become hardened, we need God to chisel bits off us. And there is that continual transformation in our lives as we allow the Holy Spirit to work within us. And it is by the Holy Spirit that we are renewed in our minds, in our hearts, and in our beings. The final state that Peter refers to, where we are trying to strive to be found by him, is that we are seeking to be made perfect. At the end of, or in the Sermon on the Mount, at the end of the first chapter, Matthew 5, verse 48, we read, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now, none of us can be perfect, but if we think of it as more of a sense of completeness, then we can ask God to work in us, to make us more completely the people that he wants us to be. In that chapter, we would read about how we are to be salt and light, quietly exercising our influence as Christians within our local world. We're called to keep his commandments, to control our anger, not to harass others, to honour our marriage vows, not to swear, not to retaliate, and to love and pray for our enemies. How possible is all this in our imperfect world? And the perfection, the completeness that the gospel writers show us is a spiritual maturity, so that we can be a blessing through our testimony, through our obedience to God, not by being flawless, because we cannot be so. Our current state is that of sinfulness and flaw, and of being flawed. It is our propensity to do what God does not want. It's falling short of God's target. And that's actually simply what sin means. The Greek word, amartia, means falling short of the mark. And sin is not an easy concept for us to talk about nowadays, but if we're honest, we do fall short of God's mark. And we want him to raise our sights so that we can keep aiming to hit that target that he has set for us. So we have the future state, where God is calling us to be perfect. We have our current state of sinfulness. And what is the paradigm that moves us from one condition to the other? We know it well, because most of us here, I'm sure, have already followed this path of repentance, of receiving forgiveness, of expressing our belief in Christ, of accepting his salvation, and receiving the Holy Spirit. And then we may have been baptized as a child and come to confirmation later, or we may as an adult have received baptism at that time of commitment to Christ. The reading in Isaiah, which is a book of comfort to the people, the Israelites, as they are returning from exile, is a story of deliverance and transformation. And it's called a typology. It's a model for our own redemption. It is our moving from the exile of sin to the new world that God calls us to embrace, to the new kingdom that we pray about every day when we say, "Your kingdom come on earth as it does in heaven." Isaiah speaks about the penalty of the people already being paid. And we know that the penalty for our sin has been paid by Christ. Be comforted that that debt has been cleared. We have no debt to pay because Jesus has covered that for us. Jesus, the Lord, the Messiah, the Anointed One that the prophet is foretelling, has come in Jesus Christ. And this prophecy is foretelling our need to be prepared. As in our little sketch, I hope, brought out that we need to examine ourselves morally and spiritually, to seek cleansing and renewing, to have those spiritual warts knocked off us so that those rough places are made plain. We might like to think, if you cast your eye over the Isaiah reading, of how the wilderness and the desert describes the state of our hearts without God, and that it is God breathing in us by the power of his Holy Spirit that transforms us into his likeness. As we seek God's direction, we will no longer meander, wandering in that wilderness. The valleys that are, when we are at our low spots, when we have no self-confidence, we are self-deprecating and need encouraging, the Spirit will lift us up. And the mountains and the hills represent those times, perhaps, when we are arrogant and need to be brought down to put our trust in God rather than ourselves. And the uneven and the rough ground of which Isaiah speaks are our behaviours and the characteristics that make us stumble in those rough places. And so our prayer has to be that the Holy Spirit, which is within us as we believe in Jesus, will wield the chisel and the hammer and the plane and reshape us, reform us to be the people that God wants us to be. In the reading from Peter, which we haven't read, but I invite you to look at, Peter reminds us that God has oversight of all time. One day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Because, says Peter, the Lord is patient. He wants to delay that time of judgment upon creation, not wanting any to perish, says Peter, but all to come to repentance. And this is the theme of John the Baptist coming, the prophecy of him coming to prepare Jesus' way in our hearts is outlined in the gospel reading when John the Baptizer proclaimed a baptism of repentance. And God is extending his grace to all to receive repentance. It's not a gospel of universalism where all, independent of their decision, will be saved, but it is an opportunity for everybody to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And our mission as Christians is to share the good news in the mission field wherever God has placed us, in our neighborhood where we live, in our workplace, where we relax, in the sports club or the pub or the gymnasium. And with that repentance and acceptance of Christ, he continues to make us to be the people that he wants us to be, living lives, as Peter writes, of holiness and godliness, at peace with God, with others, and ourselves. So John came to proclaim Jesus and to prepare the way. And we have seen that that way is a metaphorical way of preparing us to receive Jesus in our lives. John was called to preach to the Israelites, and he was primarily talking to the Gentile converts, as well as to the historic Jewish people. And his call was for all of them to repent, to believe, and be baptized. And it was a challenge to the established order of society, because the established Jews would not need to be baptized. It was the converted Gentiles who were baptized as a recognition of their conversion to Judaism. And Jesus continues to overturn standard orders of our society today in the way that we are challenged to live out against the accepted standards of society. And as Peter calls them to repent, be baptized, everyone in the name of Christ, so that you'll be forgiven and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that is speaking to us today, to receive Jesus and to let that Spirit work within us. And so my prayer is that we may all be prepared by the Spirit, that as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, it means that we will be preparing our world where we have connections through our own recognition of Jesus' work within us, that we may be able to declare through our lives, through what we do, through who we are, that God's kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven.